Cozy traditions feel good, especially this time of year. And that includes changing up your makeup look for fall. From lashes for days with the viral liquid lash extension mascara to enhancing a smoky eye with your favorite shade of Brilliant Eye Brightener. Thrive Cosmetics is your go-to for completing every fall look. Whether you want a simple just gotta get out the door routine or fall glam that wows from the office to all your favorite fall festivities, you'll always look and feel radiant with Thrive Cosmetics. Plus, every product is 100% vegan, cruelty-free, and made with clean, skin-loving ingredients. And for every product purchased, Thrive Cosmetics donates to help communities thrive. So every time you use your favorite Thrive Cosmetics product, you're helping communities you care about, too. Complete your fall look. Go to thrivecosmetics.com/cozy for an exclusive offer of 20% off your first order. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/cozy.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
You never really know someone until you find out what they've buried. Welcome to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring retired FBI Special Agent Jennifer Coffendaffer.
What's your thoughts on another piece of this case? Obviously, IgG and the DNA and all that is a big part, but what about his background? What about the things that we know about him, the fog, the brain fog, that mental fog, whatever he called it in his writings when he was younger, the getting fired from his teaching position, the fact that he was a PhD criminology student and was pretty far along in that. Do you think that those aspects, number one, are going to be allowed into the trial? And if they are, how could that benefit the prosecution, or could it also benefit the defense as well with just his experience and knowledge from an educational standpoint in criminology?
Well, I think when it comes to his background and all the issues that he had as a younger person, and that he wrote about his heroin addiction, beating his heroin addiction, mm-hmm. His feeling that he just didn't matter, and just it paints such a horrible person or a person that feels so horrible about themselves and his. As you called it, I think it's actually called not mental brain fog, but visual snow.
Visual snow, yes.
Yeah, is what he suffered from. And what's interesting, just as a side note, Luigi Mangione also said he suffered from visual snow. Mm-hmm. And that's basically where you look out at everything, and it looks like our old-time television screens, Tony, where you had the antlers or the antenna.
Yeah, the bunny ears, yeah.
And it would get snowy after midnight because there were no stations on. Mm-hmm. So I think that really could actually play into the hands of the defense. I would really, in this case, be looking for, they can't make a mental, they don't have reason of insanity, but certainly when it comes to his sentencing, they can use that to mitigate if indeed he's found guilty. And I would be all over that. So I think down the road, all of that could be important. Will it be allowed in by either party for the trial? I don't think so. Maybe they'll be able to sneak it in. Mm-hmm. But I think the prosecution will really just try to focus in on the facts. And I don't think, when I say the facts, the vehicle that was used, the cellular data, the DNA evidence, I think they'll focus in on that and make their case this way. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're going to want to get into the mental hot mess that Brian Koberger, it would seem, was.
Less is more. In a lot of times, mm-hmm. because you get your point across, it's pretty solid. Don't add anything else in that could cause confusion to this case. I'm going to assume IgG will make it in and the DNA will make it in. If it doesn't, then that's going to be a whole other discussion. But let's assume it's going to be in there. I mean, they're kind of betting right now or hoping that some of these things are removed to make their case a little bit easier to defend other than just, hey, he likes to go look at stars, which seems to be where it's still at. That being said, do you think, and I know we're ways out from this trial starting, but I'm going to start to ask the question, if that's all they got, do you put him on the stand to try and get some sort of sympathy or empathy out of the jurors, that this is just a guy who has really, really horrible luck and he was just looking at stars and damn, this looks horrible, but he's not your guy?
This is my prediction, Tony. I think that the cellular evidence they are going to get from his phone and from his computers related to everything from Google searches to trial runs to impacting all the different places he went to. Mm-hmm. People call it stalking, but it's really not stalking. I've called it surveilling his targets. I think that is just going to really bury him. And I think that this stargazing, moonwatching defense is going to go right down, not in a way they had hoped. So I don't think it's a good alibi. I've always said that. But, you know, he made a critical error in taking his cell phone and then turning it off.
Yeah.
It would have been much wiser to just leave it at the house. And this is part of the reason that a lot of apologists for Brian Koberger says it couldn't have been him. You know, they say, oh, no, he's a student, a criminology PhD student. How in the world could he make all these mistakes? Well, he made the car. The car wasn't a mistake at all.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do? Steal one? You're going to rent one?
Yeah.
You're going to borrow one? Then you have more of a paper trail and more people being involved. So using his own car, I think, was actually the best choice he had other than running.
Mm-hmm.
Could have ran there. But I think it just wasn't conducive, to...
Yeah.
Being in the shape you have to be and then to commit that crime and too many issues running around afterwards.
Yeah.
even if you discard your black outfit. So nevertheless, I don't think this is going to work. I think the defense was in a corner because they realized the digital evidence is so strong that he was out. They had to come up with an excuse as to why he was there. So it's a usual excuse, Tony.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you have great information like that puts them at a crime scene, they have to say, okay, or near a crime scene, they have to say why. And that's the best they could come up with.
Do you think these arguments are going to actually be raised in a trial, or once they get the signal that the DNA is staying in, that the IgG information is staying in, that all these things are trying to get rid of, the knife sheath, you name it, it's all going to be in there. Do we move to a plea deal at some point where it's like, you're not going to win this, let's just cut our corners or cut our losses and maybe you won't get executed? Do you think we're going to end there, or are we going to end with a trial on this?
I've really been thinking a lot about this, Tony, because I think one person that he truly looked up to, if you can look up to a serial killer, is Dennis Rader.
Yeah.
And obviously, Ramsland, who studied Rader so closely, the BTK strangler, was one of Koberger's instructors.
Mm-hmm.
And if he did look up to him, and I say this because their patterning is so similar, you know, they did conducted surveillance of their targets. They both were very fastidious in choosing their targets and how they were going to conduct their crimes. I've always said, but for that sheath, law enforcement could still be looking for who committed this crime. Really, that was the big error that was made that cracked this case open. So if you look at what Dennis Rader did, he very suddenly, without really any reason, just pled.
Yeah.
All of a sudden. So I'm guilty. And it was the reason was, I truly believe, is he enjoyed talking about what he did, how he did it. He loved to have that audience.
Yeah.
Of course, because once you plead, you know, you have all these investigators and profilers. Everybody wants to understand how anybody could do the horrific crimes he did.
Mm-hmm.
And he had this audience for so long. still has the audience, right? Yeah. So will Brian Koberger be like that, where he wants to plea and he wants to talk about it and he can't wait? Or will he be more like a Ted Bundy, where Ted Bundy fought it tooth and nail and then wanted to tell everybody about it, you know, and dangle the carrots of, well, if you keep me around another year, I'll give you another victim location. Well, in both cases, law enforcement gets fed up with all of it and stops going to see them. And you know, obviously Bundy was put to death, but not Dennis Rader. Mm-hmm. He was not put to death. And so I wonder if Koberger will follow in those footsteps, because I think he might have admired how he committed the crimes. And I say that because that's how Koberger, you know, committed his crime.
I get it on his admiration from, if you're want to be a serial killer and you're looking up to people who got away with it for a while, sure. But he doesn't possess the personality of Dennis Rader. He doesn't possess the personality of a Ted Bundy, at least as far as we've seen. And from the interactions we've seen and heard about when he was teaching, he was a very standoffish person. I don't think he really even wanted to necessarily be heard or seen. He seemed kind of like a very reclusive individual. And the other guys, not so much. I mean, once Dennis got his attention, he wanted his attention. There wasn't a lot of game playing here with Koberger. So that does make me wonder, you know, personality is one thing, but then looking up to somebody is another. Where will he fall in all of that once this, you know, gets towards a conclusion?
Well, you know, one of the things that I watched several times, and you may have watched it also, was the car stop. He was pulled over for an illegal turn. Basically, he got into the middle of the intersection, so when the light turned, then he could turn on red, right? A lot of people do that.
Yep.
And what I found interesting was the interaction with the female police officer.
Mm-hmm.
All the excuses. I mean, even saying that where he's from, they don't have rules like that, and they don't have, you know, just really making up a line of complete baloney trying to get himself out of this. And this was for a traffic ticket.
Mm-hmm.
It was probably all of, you know, $15 or $25.
Yeah.
And the lengths he went to and his arrogance, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we're talking about a traffic ticket. I understand. But you can learn a lot from somebody, how they act when they get their hand caught with the cookie.
Mm-hmm.
How are they going to act with the bigger cookie?
Yeah.
And so I always thought he would fight this to the end. So I guess if I had to make a prediction, I think he'll fight to the bitter end.
It'll be fascinating.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
All right, true crime addicts, let's cut the crap. You're knee-deep in the gory details of your favorite podcast when suddenly a commercial hits like a bad meal. Seriously? You deserve better. Upgrade to True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, where you can binge without those annoying ads. Plus, get extended interviews that go deeper into the darkness and early access to episodes so you can be the first to know. It's like trading up from fast food to fine dining, but with more blood. So, go ahead, search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and feast on the good stuff.